We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Simmons. We have got a great show for you today. This is Shabbos Parshas Noach. We're talking about the flood in the second half hour of the show. In the first half hour of the show, we will be playing a rebroadcast, very good interview with Judge Ed Sosnick, reuniting the country. It was, he came and spoke at Jewish Ferndale. We had a massive crowd of people. It was really lively. And the interview that was before it was definitely worth replaying. So, but we're not having a get-together at Tuesday at Jewish Ferndale anytime soon. In fact, Jewish Ferndale right now is doing some renovations, which hopefully will make the place better and bigger and more wonderful, and hopefully we'll be open back again. We have Jewish music throughout the show, a Hasidic story at the end, really good Hasidic story. You want to stick around all the way to the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel is easing the super strict lockdown, which had been in place since before Yom Kippur. Current corona cases are around 1,900 per day, down from peak of over 9,000. Thousands, that was compared to, like, say, Michigan, where we're averaging like 300 a day. Thousands of Israelis and Palestinians were forced to evacuate their homes over the weekend as a result of fires burning across the country. Israel is battling 250 fires, many of them may believe to be arson. IDF troops suffered light and moderate injuries during an arrest operation in the Balata refugee camp in Nablus, where grenades were thrown at soldiers. Israel approved building more than 5,000 housing units in the West Bank, ending an 8-month building freeze. The European Union voiced its objection. In other news, Germany has agreed to give $662 million to Holocaust survivors. The payments will go to 240,000 survivors who mostly live in Israel, North America, the former Soviet Union, and Western Europe. The Polish Senate voted to delay the ban until 2025 of exporting kosher meat. A bill was passed last month that would, pardon the expression, kill Poland's kosher slaughter business. Poland is one of the largest producers of kosher meat in Europe. An Orthodox Jewish man was beaten on the Coney Island boardwalk in Brooklyn as his wife and child looked on. Police are treating it as a hate crime. Alex Dowsett won, remember that name, Alex Dowsett won stage 8 of the Giro d'Italia for the Team Israel cycling team. First time an Israeli has won a stage of a major cycling event. There are three major cycling events. Everybody knows about the Tour de France, the Vuelta a España, and the Giro d'Italia. And finally, Paul Milgram will share the Nobel Prize in Economics for his work in auction theory. Two Jews, one person who thinks he's not Jewish but really is, and two people who aren't Jewish but think they are, won Nobel Prizes this year in mathematics, physics, literature, and economics. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have coming up right now for your listening pleasure, this is a rebroadcast of an interview from the beginning of January of Ed Sosnick and Reuniting the Country. Let's listen to it.
Oakland County Circuit Court Judge Ed Sosnick, who from till now will just be referred to as Ed Sosnick. How are you, Ed?
Hello.
Oh, there we are. There you go.
Hi, Rabbi. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. How are you doing?
Oh, good.
This Tuesday at Jewish Ferndale, you're going to be leading a discussion entitled "A Nation Divided Cannot Stand. How Do We Reunite This Country?" So let's talk about the parameters. It's a very interesting thing that it seems that the split in the country seems to have it's not really all that old. There was an interview televised not too long ago, which I happened to catch on somebody's TV, that there was an interview between former presidents Clinton and Bush too, and they were talking about what good buddies they are, and it's like, what? That was like,
yeah,
shocking, eye-opening. It's like, yeah, he said, we got more in common than we don't. He says, you know, the only thing is we export water and he exports oil. I mean, that was the basis of it. So,
yeah.
When did all this stuff really start happening? When did things start? We're not just talking politics, but you know, just the old general overall of what's going on in the nature of this country.
The best example is the Civil War. You know, and Lincoln famously said, "A house divided, cannot stand." And that's the quote. Let me see if I can find the quote. It was just before the Civil War. He said, "A nation divided cannot stand. One slave, one free. I don't expect the nation to remain divided." So that was an extreme example where it took the Civil War and thousands and thousands and thousands of, you know, people to die and be maimed and wounded and all that sort of stuff. And it once was one country, and then it was divided. And then it took a whole Civil War to bring the country back together. But it was never really undivided, you know, since the Civil War. In terms of African American people, I mean, that whole population remained divided through Jim Crow laws, and until recently, to Brown versus Board of Education, desegregating schools and things like that. But there was some relief there, Rabbi. But I mean, it seems to me that there are reasons why people will not listen to other people and viscerally hate other people just because of their words. And that's what I think we're facing today. And we see it really clear under the political climate that we have. You know, we're divided into far left, we're divided into far right, and the divide on issues is really clear. I mean, liberal people normally what might be pro-choice, conservative would be pro-life, the parent school, and all these issues that divide us. But in the past, you know, we've been able to talk to each other anyway, and that included our politicians. I mean, Reagan and Chip O'Neill would fight all day long, but they got drunk. I shouldn't say they got drunk, but they socialize with each other after work, and I don't think that's happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's really sad to see. And the sad part, what follows along, is hate crimes are off the charts. The amount of anti-Semitism since 2016 is, it's just up and up and up. And the far right people, neo Nazis, attacking places of worship, attacking schools, and they all think they're right. So, I think the origins are almost everywhere, and they've certainly been in our country. And but in the old days, as I said, I could go out for dinner with someone that's completely opposite beliefs than mine, and I mean, we could talk about them, but we'd still be friends. And unfortunately, that's changed.
Okay.
And the big question is, how do you put the genie back in the bottle, or how do you put the pieces back together again?
Indeed. Our guest today again is Edward Sosnick. We're talking about A Nation Divided Cannot Stand. How do we put it back together? The conclusions, I hope, we'll have. If we have the conclusion, we'll probably get the Nobel Peace Prize, as a matter of fact. But
yeah.
Judge Sosnick, do you think that this is being fomented from the top down, meaning is it the leaders are responsible for this attitude, or do you think the leaders in this case are being more like followers, and this is coming from the grassroots, from the bottom up?
Well, I'm not an expert on it. I mean, clearly there's tremendous responsibility in our political system. You know, if the public watches the way these congressmen and women, senators, you saw it in the testimony with regard to the impeachment hearings. I mean, it is like so vitriolic, and you know they set the standard on hate, and we have these news channels, Fox News, you have MSNBC, CNN, where it's completely opposite point of view on everything, and they don't agree, which is fine. I mean, you don't have to agree. But there's no reason, because unless they have abhorrent beliefs, or if their beliefs are they have a sound basis for them. I mean, that's one thing. But what's happening now is it's clearly our political climate in Washington is horrible. But I mean, it's out there in the community, and obviously you're right, you get the Nobel Peace Prize. But I mean, I believe if we can, sort of step down the rhetoric and have more like we're having this meeting at Jewish Ferndale, where we can start to talk to one another about it. And I think, I'm actually doing another program. I'm on the Oakland County Fire Association in Oakland County. We're having a similar program. There's a wonderful book that was written by Ben Sass, Senator Sass, and that's going to be part of our book club. But I just started reading it, right, and he's proposing some solutions. And when I,
okay, let me get to that now.
It makes you really sad. I'm first generation. My parents came over from one from Ukraine, one from Belarus, and I lift my lamp, the golden door from Ellen Lazarus, and now we have our policy is totally anti-immigrant, and so that kind of mess certainly sends to the people that hate immigrants anyway, that it's okay to hate them because that's their policy. You're also seeing a tremendous rise in neo-Nazism and other extreme groups. And again, that really, they've always been there, but I think they've now think it's safe to come out of
from under the rocks from whence they've been living till
now.
Yeah,
because there's a whole percentage of the people, that contribute to that. And some say that includes President Trump. I don't want to make this political.
We are apolitical. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I'm not making it political. I'm just saying that, rhetoric, I mean, I worry that, you know, when you look at happened in Brooklyn, I grew up on understanding about the Holocaust and about the pogroms and things like that. And I didn't think about it, but now I worry about it. You know, I really do.
Yeah, that's what
I worry that everybody, you know, all of a sudden, what are we going to have to do? Arm ourselves. You know, we came here so we didn't have to do that, but
indeed.
As a people. But
indeed. What happened? You know. Let me ask you, Judge Sosnick.
Sure.
This seems like the country, the politicians especially, have become very polarized. People ask me if I'm a Republican or a Democrat, or liberal or conservative, and I respond and have responded for 40 years. I am a radical, militant moderate, and I will defend my right to be a moderate. What happened to all the moderates?
I thank you for saying that, because I'm going to use that as my motto also. What happened was, once upon a time, when you had moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats, you could work things out. And they listened to each other, and they would listen to each other's point of view. For some reason, and maybe it's the fact that, you know, it's so expensive, you know, and, you know, to stay in office. And so instead of, like, looking to the constituents and their needs, it's sometimes I think that, you know, whether Democrats or Republicans, that the needs of the special interests that pick one or the other and, you know, lavish money on them makes them have to be more extreme than they would if they didn't have that kind of money. So one example might be that we should take some of the money out of politics. You know, in other words, either set money limits. You know, when you have a situation under a Supreme Court case where, you know, a PAC can come along and give money to, you know, the most extreme politician anywhere and not have to name who they are, you're going to get these extreme views. So how do we get each other back to being more moderate and also being able to listen to one another? And, you know, one of the things, I have a couple of friends that are staunch Trump supporters, and we sat down one day and said, let's talk about our views. And when you sit down and you explain what your view is and why that's your view, even if you don't agree with it, once you understand that that's a rational thing, that people have the right to disagree, then that whole relationship changes. And we have to change those relationships in the same way. We have to listen to one another. And obviously there are exceptions. If your friend or some acquaintance wants to kill all Jews, you know, and belongs to groups that are, you know, training or planning to do that, that's one thing. But if it's an issue, you know, I'll just go, like, an example would be, you know, people who believe that life begins at conception, and therefore every time there's an abortion, that's a murder, that's a death. When you sit down and understand that's how they think, you may not agree with it, but you're not angry, and you're not calling them names, and vice versa. They're not calling you names or saying horrible things to you. And maybe we need to go back to the across the board, you know, and I think we need to do that more and more. You know, in like interdenominational meetings, but I mean, it has to go beyond religion, and you know, there's so many other issues that you know, that people need to talk about. So I don't know. I mean, you know, in Jewish Ferndale, I mean, you know, we're gonna have. I'm looking forward to this discussion. I mean, people talk the same thing, you know, about how divided the country is. Isn't that so?
Of course.
Yeah. You know,
okay. Again,
to be honest with you, the one thing it taught me was, and I should know this, you know, that, other than a homeland, which is Israel, Jews are really mostly still in the diaspora, and you know, and you're comfortable for a little while. I thought that America was going to be forever, and this is the first time I start to worry. Well, once again, are we going to be victimized and scapegoats? And you know, that we're ruining the world and ruining the country. And that's, I haven't felt that way, and I'm just turned 79, until maybe a year or two ago when I saw all this stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Okay.
It's a tough problem, isn't it?
Indeed it is. And like I say, if we could solve it, we'd definitely be up for all kinds of awards. Our guest again today is former Oakland County Circuit Court Judge Edward Sosnick. He's going to be leading a bi-monthly discussion this coming Tuesday. That's the 14th of January, 8 p.m. at Jewish Ferndale, a topic of a nation divided cannot stand. How do we bring this country back together again? What would you see? What could you imagine? It says that things have to change when they bottom out. They talk about this when dealing with like addicts and recovery, that an addict doesn't go into recovery until they bottom out and it doesn't get any worse. What do you think is the bottoming out point there, Judge? Not that we should ever really ever get there.
Well, for some people it's never, and I wouldn't call it bottoming out because that implies that it's something that they can actually on their, you know, it's willpower on their own. I'm a president and executive director of the Restore Foundation, and you know, we do our work is to deal with addicts and other wellness issues. And the first thing you got to understand, you know, people have to understand that they understand cancer, they understand diabetics, they understand other diseases that nobody wanted, but when they look at addicts, they think that they have that choice. And therefore, you know, let them reach the level, and then rationally they're going to want to, you know, better and heal themselves and not die. It is a disease or an illness exactly like everything else, with all the same symptoms. But it's even more insidious because it's a disease that tells you there's nothing wrong with you. And basically, the drug hijacks your brain, hijacks your, in essence, your soul. It feels like the some form of devil is taking me over. And it is very difficult. I mean, you know, I'll give you an example. I've worked with a person that lost an arm, you know, and because, you know, overdosed, was in the snow, it's, you know, and they took her to the hospital. She got an infection and she recovered, but she lost her arm and she couldn't stop using. And this is just an example across the board till maybe 2 years ago. So even after that kind of terrible loss, it's the disease, the etiology of the disease. So what you really, really, really need is you need really good rehabilitation facilities. And I know there's I believe Lodge or one in Florida, and that's had terrific terrific results. Mm-hmm. I'm actually on my board.
Okay, so let me interject that. Yeah. So using the analogy of the addict for the situation that the country finds itself in.
Yeah.
Could we say that there really is no rhyme or rationale for the schism which exists, and that people are just going on their path and not, and it's like sort of like the extension of this is what's good for me?
No, I do believe that, I could tell you about, you know, the book called What's the Matter with Kansas, which used to be, that was a bulwark against slavery. And then people divided over, evangelical stuff and they began, that their religious was more important than, you know, bread and butter issues and things of that nature. And I guess what I'm saying is that we are truly divided. But what's different is we need to learn how to communicate with each other again and how to respect one another's views.
That's, I think, about the bottom line.
With the exception, that's really what we need to do.
That's really the bottom line.
And that's what I'm hoping, that, you know, that we'll get some kind of a messenger, you know, in the next election, whoever it is. You know, and I, again, this is a non-political, it's not a political thing. We need to set the tone in this country, and the talk shows have got to change. You know, instead of having just one point of view and just, you know, like, you know, saying, you know, like most recently I saw Nikki Haley, with, you know, ambassador to the UN, you know, said that Democrats, hate, were cheering the loss of the general that was just killed. And I mean, that kind of rhetoric, and I'm not, that it goes both ways. That kind of rhetoric, if all I watch is that particular channel or some other more liberal channel, and I hear, high up official, somebody that looks like pretty rational, telling me that the Democrats are the devil because they're dancing in the streets over the loss of this. Oh, no, they're dancing in the streets because because their point of view now will out, because this is the wrong thing to do. All of a sudden, when I find out that, when 9/11 came, some people were talking about Muslims, cheering in the streets. I'm going to, you're going to hate Muslims.
Okay. Right, you know indeed. What I mean? Okay.
And we multiply that by every kind of interaction. Right. And we got to change that.
That's indeed. It's got to change. Okay. Yeah, our guest has been Ed Sosnick, a former Oakland County Circuit Court judge. He's going to be leading a bi-monthly discussion, which means we have them every other month. And that will be this coming Tuesday at 8 o'clock at Jewish Ferndale, 1725 Pine Crest. And light refreshments are served. No charge. We'll be talking about A Nation Divided Cannot Stand. How do we put it back together again?
Yeah, maybe a couple people could bring some friend that has a completely opposite point of view, have a different
absolutely.
Point of view.
People should bring their great. Friends bring and them. Bring their friends yeah. and their enemies, and we'll get it all out, and everybody
absolutely.
Everybody will walk out friendly. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
We're going to make it happen.
We're going to do that.
Happen.
Thank you so much for coming on, Judge. We'll
all right,
see you Tuesday.
Thanks, Rabbi. It's always good to talk to you. And for your audience, I've studied with you, and you're one of my heroes. Okay.
Thanks. Likewise. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, we'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Hey, Schulman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. Last week, we read the portion of Bereshit, Genesis 1:1. The classic Bible commentary, Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, lived in the early 1000s, who was the major commentary on the Bible, comments in the very first verse that the Bible doesn't need to start with the story of the Genesis. It really should have started with the first commandment when the Jews were leaving Egypt. So why do we have like a whole entire book of stories? So he answers that in the future, the nations of the world are going to tell the Jewish people, you are robbers. You have stolen the land of Israel. And we can answer, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's His. He initially gave it to us, and then it was taken from us. And now we're taking it back. And this is Simcha Friedman. We've had played him before, singing the first Rashi.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, the Klezmer segment. This group is called the Klezmer Tune. They're a young group from Germany. And this song is called Grace, which means big.
Mm-hmm.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, for your listening pleasure, this is Barry's Energy, and that's a Barry Weber and a group called Third Energy. But before we play that, I have to tag One Stop, which One Stop is no longer One Stop. One Stop is now called Grove. They've redone the store. It's really very special. Great place to shop. You'll want to check it out on Greenfield Road, just south of 696. Let's get right now to Barry's Energy.
Dovarachamai vechai ayadichai, imezoy nai rabichai. Chinu vechis dovarachamai vechai ayadichai, imezoy nai rabichai. Chinu vechis dovarachamai vechai ayadichai, imezoy nai
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community. And Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Hey, Herschel Thinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Noah. That's what they're reading in the synagogue on Saturday. And it's primarily about the flood. You'll find it in Genesis 6 and following. At the very end of the portion, after the flood's all done, and we've got the rainbow, and the promise is not to bring a flood again, and everybody's living happily ever after, we have the story of the Tower of Babel, which is another one of those famous Bible stories. There's just some stories that just people know. Okay, people know about Adam and Eve in the garden with the snake. They know about the flood. They know about the Tower of Babel. They know about, a lot of people know about the binding of Isaac. There's Joseph in the coat. People know about Moses in the basket. There's just some stories that just seem to be more popular than others. So let's focus in on the Tower of Babel. What was the deal there? The people all congregated together, and they decided in unison, you know, there might just be another flood one day, and we have to take measures against it. So we're going to build this massive tower that'll be higher than the floodwaters. That way, we'll all be saved. And they found an area, which they massive valley, which, you know, if you're going to build a tower, build it in a valley, build it on a mountain. Well, you're higher already. But they didn't ask my opinion. But this was I guess they needed a big area, because this valley where they built this tower was a mile by a mile. So this is 4 miles square, this valley. The building was, it was a circular building, a spiral. So it took off, it wasn't 4,000 feet square at the base. You'd have to take off about 25%. Put you down about a little over 3 miles squared, which would be about 9 square miles, which is about the size of Oak Park, Berkeley, and Huntington Woods, for those people who are following at home. That's a large building. And the facilitation of this building earlier was all made by hand. They didn't have building machinery back then. And each brick was made by hand. And this tower got very big. It was based on, it was like the, they didn't have columns supporting it, like say like the World Trade Center of Blessed Memory, but rather it was a spiral. It just kept on building on top of itself, on top of itself, on top of itself, in a circular motion, so that if you wanted to get up to the second floor, you basically had to walk 8 miles to get to it. And then to get up to the third floor was a little less than 8 miles, and get up to the fourth floor. So it took, but as far as they got, it would take a year for a person to get up to the top of this building. This is a massive structure. What was the error? What was the problem with the Tower of Babel? You know, this is, we use this as our reason for why it is that people speak different languages around the world. As people were all together, and they said, we're going to use bricks as stones. And they were saying, look, we got bricks. Bricks are square. They fit really good together. God made rocks. Rocks don't fit together so good. So we are better than God. And we're going to build this tower so that we can make a name for ourselves. The word name is Hashem. Hashem means God in Hebrew. It's a colloquialism. You say Baruch Hashem means thank God, which means thanks be his name. So they were asserting themselves that they wanted to be God. So now, the Almighty doesn't really care if a person wants to be God or not, because they're not God. So that's not a big deal. What was the problem? If a person who was helping build a tower fell off the tower and died, nobody really cared, because there was somebody right behind taking their place. But if a brick fell off the tower, everybody mourned, because it would take a year to replace that brick. That, the Almighty said, no. When you start putting stuff ahead of valuing human life, that can't be tolerated. That we have to get rid of. And that's when the whole thing started. People were unable to communicate with each other, and it led to discord. And there has been discord and disharmony ever since. And what happened to the tower? It's not there anymore. Not even a trace. Because unlike rocks, what happens to brick over time is if you leave it just leave it like in the sand and whatnot, they'll eventually fall apart, go back to the dirt that which they were. So they're not going to find any of these bricks anywhere in southwestern Babylon, which is Iraq. But the lesson for us is very simple. We have to value what's important, which is human life, getting along with each other, focusing on creating good, not worrying about if your name is going to get in the newspaper, not looking for fame, not looking to be the boss. These are the lessons that we're learning from this portion. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way, rabbifinman.com. You'll find a way how to contact me right on the homepage. You won't have to look all around at the bottom or the top, flip pages, go here, go there. Right there, I make it. My job is to make things easy for people. That's what I like to do. So you'll be able to contact me, offer me up any kind of comment, question, criticism, critique, query, any type of thing you like to talk about. I love positive feedback. I love feedback about the show. Tell me I'm doing something wrong, and that way I won't do it anymore. Simple as that. There's also archived editions of the radio show, archived editions of other ways in which we present, other media in which we present Judaism. There's classes, which are great, if I do say so myself, and there's a donations page. We are coming up to the end of October. We need your help. Still, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. It comes in little drips and drabs here and there, 5, 10, 25, 100 comes in. And we'll, eventually, the show gets paid for because it's been that way for 25 years now that we're on the air, and I guess that's the way it's always going to be. So take time, go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, pick a number, make it a monthly donation. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to give me $100,000 right off the bat. You can give me $9,500, $950 a month. That'd make it so much easier for you. Don't like internet giving? No problem. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 4-8-2-2-0. Going on, for speaking of Jewish Ferndale, so mark your calendars. We're going to be doing something the Monday night of Hanukkah. We don't know what it is yet. We don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to be a something. So mark that down on your calendar. It'll be at 6 o'clock, and it'll be in front of the, totally outside, in front of the, around the property outside because of what's going on. Mark that down right now. Details to follow. So now, the story very quickly. There is a Rebbe by the name of the Ribnitzer Rebbe. He passed away about 25 years ago. His anniversary is celebrated this week. His name was Chaim Zanvil Abramowitz. He was born in Russia. He fought against the Soviets tooth and nail, finally was allowed to emigrate from Russia in 1973, moved to Israel, then to Miami, Los Angeles, and then New York. And was known as a great tzaddik, a great miracle worker. So what happened that there was a certain Dr. Goldstein, who was an ear, nose, and throat person on the Upper West Side, and this couple came with a child, a young child, a preschooler who was in preschool, who was deaf. And he said, go to Dr. Goldstein, and Dr. Goldstein will help heal your child. So they come in, they say, the Ribnitzer Rebbe told us that you have to heal our child. So he takes a look at the kid and says, there's nothing I can do. I can't do anything for this. And they said, no, that's not true. The Ribnitzer Rebbe said that you can. So he said, okay, you know what? Here, have your child take these vitamins. Okay, they took the vitamins. Okay, 2 weeks go by, and suddenly in preschool, one of the teachers noticed that the kid is showing signs of hearing noises, and then lo and behold, the kid can hear. And the word got around that this doctor, Goldstein, performed a miracle and healed kids who can't hear and makes them to be allowed to hear. Okay. Some time went by, and the Ribnitzer had a problem with his hearing. And he went to this Dr. Goldstein. And Dr. Goldstein answered, Tony, if you could bring the music up behind me, asked the Ribnitzer, listen, you made a miracle. I didn't do anything. I gave the kid a placebo. I made the family. They said they definitely needed something. I gave them vitamins. There's no way that vitamins cures people's hearings. You performed a miracle. So you have a problem with your own hearing. Why don't you perform a miracle for yourself? So he said, in the Gemara, there was a great sage who had a problem. He was a miracle worker, and people came to him to heal blessings for healing. But when he got sick, he had to go ask somebody else, because a prisoner can't free himself. You have to go get from somebody else. So you're then the vehicle for, he said to Dr. Goldstein, you're the vehicle for the blessing to come, so please help me out. That's the story. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had a great, hope you had an opportunity to educate you. We hope an opportunity to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care. ונרקוד, זה הזמן להדליק את האש, תדליק את האש.